All right. Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing? Good to see you. Trust you've had a good week at camp. I was really excited last night. There was a clear gospel presentation, and many of you responded, and that is awesome. That is awesome. It's awesome to see a loving God speaking to the hearts of kids and men, too, because we're being ministered to. Out of love, God's speaking to us because he loves us so much, and to see people respond in belief and faith, that's wonderful. And if you didn't accept Christ this week and you accepted Christ before you got to camp, that's wonderful too. I don't want to disclude you. If you've not accepted Christ, again, there's time. You'll have opportunities this week, talk to your counselor and do things like that. But I hope that you're getting it this week. I hope you're getting the fact of how much God loves you, how much you mean to God, to the point where he sends his only begotten son, and he's done so much. And we went through the cross and talked about how Christ took all of that for you. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? And we're here because of how much God loves us. I mean, if you think about it, we're here because we have something in common, and that is we've been touched by God, right? And if you've been saved and been touched by grace, you understand that God loves you, you're going to want to respond back, right? You're going to want to do something with your life. I mean, the Creator God who created the universe, right? Every star in the sky gives you breath every day. That one came, died on the cross for you, not just for us, not just for other people, but for you personally, right? Right? You get this? So because of this wonderful grace, this wonderful gift, I want to give back to God. I want to be someone that God can use. I want to continue my life being lived for the Lord. And I hope that is your conviction. I hope you're getting to the place where Jesus and God mean more than just Sunday school terms, but they start to mean more and more and more. The more you grow, the more you learn. So today what I want to talk to you about is becoming a man of conviction. Our theme for camp this week is look to the future. Can boys, ages 9 to 12, can they right now make good decisions for Christ which will make them a man of God in the future? Yes or no? Yes. Of course. One of the ways we do that, and what I want to talk to you about this morning, is becoming a person of conviction. A person of conviction. Go ahead to the next slide, Austin. I want to ask you this question. I want you to consider this thought. You have a calling of God on your life right now. You have a calling of God on your life. Are you choosing to accept it? Is God calling you to do something, do you think? Is God calling you to live for the Lord? Is God calling you to serve him? Even if you're a 9 to 12-year-old boy? What do you think the answer is? Yes, of course. God's calling you to start the process early. God's calling you to start this now. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He saved you, and you get to serve him. You get to share the message of grace and salvation with other people in your life. Does those passages in Scripture that talk about the Great Commission and talk about serving the Lord, does that apply to you, 9 to 12-year-old boys? Absolutely does. And if you've been touched by God in your life, you're going to want to respond positively back to God and say, God, use me. God, work in my life. And the way we do that is through becoming men of conviction. And I want to share that with you today. The way you live and respond to God now, the way you live and respond to God now, gentlemen, determines how God uses you in the future. That's on your notes. The way you live and respond to God now determines how God uses you in the future. And I want you to be used by God. I want you to have such a loving relationship with God that impacts your daily life. It impacts how you respond. It impacts how you treat your family members, how you treat people that are being mean to you, how the choices you make as you get older. I want God to be so much to you that those things you weigh and consider in the light of how much God loves you. You have a calling of God on your life. Are you choosing to accept it? One of the examples in Scripture of a young man growing up to become a man of conviction is the story of David. David was a fairly young man when God got a hold of his life. And if you have your Bible, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to look at David and how God used David, and the type of boy David was. David, there's some debate about this, but I believe that when David was called by God and anointed by Samuel, he would have been young, maybe 13, 14 years old, not much older than you. 1 Samuel 16, you're turning there, right, gentlemen? 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 1. So this is a time where Saul is king. If you remember hearing stories of Saul, Saul is king, and after being king for a while, he stopped listening and heeding the voice of God, and God ultimately rejected him because he lived in an unrighteous way. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel the prophet is being tasked with going finding the new king, the one who will succeed Saul, who will come after him. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" And then skip ahead to verse 6. There's some debate. Samuel was afraid to go. And God showed him the way to go. And then in verse 6, he comes to the family of Jesse, and this is what the word says. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab," this is one of Jesse's sons, David's brothers, "and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" So he must have been handsome and good-looking and very manly and looked like a king would look. Verse 7 that says, this is the Lord's response to Samuel. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" The Lord looks at the heart. And from there, they called David, and Samuel anointed David as king. What, from that passage, gentlemen, what was so special about David? Eliab looked the part. David didn't. What was special about David? Go ahead and say it if you know it. Yeah. What was it about David? It was his heart, right? David, 13, 14 years old, had a heart for God. Boys, IRBC, 9 to 12, do you have a heart for God? We're going to see how much David was used by God. It was because David was a man after God's own heart. David was convicted and convinced to make decisions and stick to those decisions that are for the Lord in response to how much God loves him. You've been touched by God's grace. You know how much God loves you. Are you responding and making good decisions for God, becoming a man that God can use? I certainly hope you are. So what was so special about David? David was a man of convictions. David's convictions led him to be the man of God that he came to be. And do you remember that God used this phrase about David that described David? He said, "I have found a man after God's own heart." Remember that? A man after God's own heart. That is how David is described. And David got there by taking a stand for God, by making these tough decisions. We're going to look at a couple examples of that, and then we're going to talk about how we can make convictions and respond back to God. So one of the things that David loved about the Lord is he loved worshiping God. You're in 1 Samuel 16. Look at verse 22. David was a man who worshiped God. He spent time with God. In 1 Samuel 16, we have an issue of Saul, the king. He has this distressing spirit from the Lord, and he gets irrationally angry and frustrated. He just kind of goes crazy. Imagine a grown man kind of going crazy. And when that happens, his counselor said, "Let's find someone who could play the harp that would calm you down and bring peace into your heart." So they brought in David. David plays the harp, and when that happened, the distressing spirit left Saul, and David found favor in God's eyes, or in Saul's eyes, excuse me. 1 Samuel 16, verse 22 explains this. It says, "Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight.' So it was, whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him." Now, where do you think David learned to play the harp? It said he was skillful at it. He's still a young man. Where do you think David learned to play the harp? Yeah. His older brothers? I don't think so. Maybe, though. Watching over the sheep. Good answer. Yes, that's exactly right. He was a shepherd. He would lead sheep from place to place where they would graze, they would drink water. And a shepherd would have some responsibilities, but there's a lot of downtime as a shepherd. You're watching sheep eat. Exciting, huh? As he was a shepherd, he would sit on a hill playing a harp. He taught himself, and he became very skilled at it. But what we realize when he wrote a lot of psalms is that he would worship God in those times as a youth, playing to God, praising God with the harp. 13 to 14-year-old boy sitting down on a hill, worshiping God. Do you enjoy worshiping God? How many of you guys play an instrument? All right. If you don't play an instrument, you can sing, right? Or maybe you can worship God playing sports and you try to have a good attitude and be a good witness. You can worship God when you put your money in the offering at church or worship God on your own when you're praying and you're praising God. To be a man of conviction, to be a man after God's own heart, enjoy worshiping God. Take some time and just pour out your heart to Him. This is what it means to be in a relationship with Christ. It's a good thing. David became such a mightily used man of God, a man of conviction, because he enjoyed worshiping God. And I hope you do too. I hope you get to the point where you're just amazed at how much God loves you, that He would send His Son, that He would give you life, that He would put you in a Christian home, that He would send you to camp, that He'd put you in a church and He'd protect you and watch over you. And you're just amazed by how great God is, that you respond being like, "Wow, God, I love you. Thank you." And you pray every day and you worship God. I hope that is your attitude towards worship. God wants children, men that worship Him. And David had this conviction that he was going to worship God, that God was going to get the glory that he deserves, and it led him to be a man that is greatly used by God because of that deep-seated conviction. Moving forward, on top of this, David was a man that would later on go to become kind of an enemy of Saul. So after this time, fast forward a few chapters, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24, we'll be there in a minute. After this, Saul and David fight. Saul decides he's going to kill David. He knows that David has been anointed king by Samuel. Saul's supposed to be the king, so he wants to kill David. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, you have David's entire army chases, I'm sorry, Saul's entire army chasing Saul into the wilderness. Saul is trying to kill David. David is running for his life, and he has an opportunity to kill Saul. He finds him in a cave. David's hiding from Saul in the cave. Saul comes to the cave, and David sneaks up on Saul, and he could kill him. But because David's a man of conviction, he doesn't. We're going to pick up the story in 1 Samuel 24 and verse 4. And there we read, "Then the men of David said to him," this is in the cave, "this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you." In other words, his counselors were telling David to kill Saul. He's standing right there in the cave. He doesn't know you're there. You can sneak up behind him, stab him in the back, kill him. It goes on to say, "And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is anointed of the Lord.'" So David not only killed him, but he tore a piece of Saul's robe in order to show Saul, "See, I could have killed you, but I didn't." But Saul is the Lord's anointed, meaning that he was the one that God has as king right now. And David became convicted in his heart and guilty in his heart because he even did so much as to cut a piece of Saul's robe off in order to show him proof that he could have killed him. And he felt so guilty, and he said, "Lord, forbid this thing." And then jump to verse 16 of chapter 24. We see how David responds to Saul after Saul finds out about this. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, he said to Saul, "Look, I have a corner of your robe. I could have killed you. Why do you pursue me? My hand is not against you." Verse 16. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David? Is that you, David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil." What did kindness do to Saul? It softened his heart. A man after God's own heart, David being a man after God's own heart, showed kindness when he didn't feel like it. You ever have to do that? You ever have to show kindness when you don't feel like it? You ever have to apologize to your sister or brother or to somebody even though you don't feel sorry because it's the right thing to do? Your parents ever make you do that? You have to go apologize to somebody even if you don't feel sorry? David was a man of conviction. Because of that, he showed kindness when he didn't feel like it. He could have killed him. And a lot of people would say, "Well, that makes sense. He's your enemy. He's trying to kill you." But he didn't. And then this happened a second time as well. There are so many examples of how David stood upon conviction and God used those convictions to use David as an instrument of God to lead him to a place where he was greatly used by God. I hope you want to be greatly used by God. Men, if you want to be used by God, then make a decision now to be a man of conviction. Go ahead to the next slide. What does it take to be a man of God's own heart? Become a man of conviction. Stand firm on the decisions you're making for the Lord. So let's think about this for a minute. What's a decision that maybe you have made for the Lord this week at camp? Maybe you have decided that you're going to accept Christ. Maybe you have decided that you're going to share the gospel. Maybe you have decided that you're going to be nicer to people. Maybe you're tempted to steal some money laying on a bed sometime this week, and God worked in your heart that way. When you make a decision for God, that becomes a conviction. But if you don't exercise it, if you don't remember it, what good does it do? You go to church and you go to Sunday school, you hear all these lessons, right? And they all have applications, like be brave, or love God, or love your enemies. And there's all these applications to all your Sunday school messages. Those are your opportunities to develop deep-seated convictions. If you want to be a man after God's heart, you want to be used by God in the future, then become a man of conviction. So I want to share with you a couple things. Three steps to becoming a man of conviction. This is in your notes. It's up on the screen. I want you to think about this with me. Three steps to becoming a man of conviction. One, make a decision for the Lord. So for David, he chose to love his enemies, to show kindness to his enemies, to show kindness to Saul. But whenever you're in Sunday school or church or at camp, there's an application to a message, right? There's an application to the marriage. You know, share the gospel, fulfill the Great Commission, love your church, be nice to your family members, whatever it is. Whatever that Sunday school message is, if you respond and say, yes, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make that decision, then develop that into a conviction so that you can be a man used by God. So number one, you make a decision for the Lord. David chose to love his enemies. Number two, remember your decision long term. It doesn't do you any good to make a decision for God and then just forget it. Every year, boys come to camp and they're convicted about things, and they might go home and completely forget the decision that they made for God at camp. And what good does that do? You know, at camp they're serious and they're frustrated and they're pouring their heart out to their counselor, saying, you know, I want to share the gospel, or I want to know and obey Christ better. But then when they leave here, they get around their friends and what's familiar to them, they just forget about the decision they made at camp. And what good does that do them? Nothing. Remember your decision long term. So let's say that you've made a decision that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. Remember that. Remember that. When it comes up again at church or Sunday school or on your personal devotions or it comes up with your parents, you remember, Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to forget it. And then for David, for example, David decided to run from Saul and not to kill Saul. David made the conviction, I'm going to love my enemies. Then he remembered his decision before Saul that he was not going to kill him. And then, on top of that, do it. Execute your conviction. Whatever decision you've made for God, actually carry it out. Put feet to your faith and do something. Do it as often as you get the chance. David had a chance to kill Saul in the cave, but he didn't take it. And as a result, what did that do to Saul's heart? You remember from the story? How did Saul respond? He lifted his voice and wept. He was so moved by David's grace shown to Saul that he wept and was restored to David, at least for a time. So let's say you go to church and you hear a message about about sharing the gospel and how you got to share the gospel with other people. And you decide between you and God, I'm going to start doing that. I've made a decision, number one. I've made this decision for the Lord to share the gospel. Number two, remember that decision long term. As often as it comes up in church, as often as it comes up around your friends or whatever, you remember this decision that you have made, I am going to share the gospel. And then three, actually do it. Carry it out. Actually share the gospel. If you've shared the gospel with somebody for the first time, telling them Jesus died for them, or even something small like just inviting them to church, inviting them to kids club where they can hear the gospel themselves, if you've actually done that, what that's going to do is kind of solidify that decision in your mind that this is who I am before God. This is the decisions that I have made. I am going to try to be used by God. The best thing that you can do is not just decide something, but actually carry it out in order to develop a deep-seated, heartfelt conviction in the way that you can respond to God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, gentlemen? I want you to be convicted men of God that are going to be used by God. So whatever decision you're making for the Lord, number one, stand firm on that decision. Number two, remember that decision long term. And number three, actually practice it. Actually do it. And when you actually do it, it's going to make it so much more firm in your heart and in your mind. So let's look at camp, for instance. You love, who here likes camp? Who here loves camp? Show of hands. Okay, put your hands down. So you've made a decision to come to camp. Are you going to come to camp next year? Are you going to come to camp every year? So let's use that example. If God's working at your heart in camp, make a decision, I'm going to come to camp every year because it does good for my spiritual life, my walk with God. So you make that decision, number one, I'm going to come to camp every year. Number two, remember your decision long term. Next summer, the summer starts to roll around. You start to think the winter thaws out and you start to think about going outside and doing stuff. Look forward to camp. Remember, I've made a decision in my response to God. It's so good for me to be at camp that I'm going to go to camp this summer. Remember that as it comes up. Number two, remember your decision long term. And number three, actually do it. And then you'll have developed this idea that I am a man who goes to camp because it's good for me. God works in my heart at camp. And then what do you think is going to happen to your spiritual life when you're a man, when you're, let's say, 25 years old, if you've gone to camp every year? What do you think your spiritual life is going to look like? It's going to be great, right? It's going to be strong. It's not going to be perfect. You're always going to be a sinner, but it's going to be strong because you've made a conviction in your heart. Gentlemen, next slide, Austin. God has a calling on your life. God is calling you to do something for God. God is calling you to serve Him. God's calling you to respond to the love that God has shown to you. God has a calling on your life. Are you choosing to accept it? Or are you going to let it die? Are you going to let yourself forget when we leave here this week? When you go home, you get back to the video games and the friends that don't love the Lord and you're brushing elbows with people that just don't really care about the decisions you made at camp. Are you going to allow the decisions that you've made this week to die, to go away? Remember them long term. And as much as it comes up throughout your day, remind yourself that I have made this decision to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do it. The difference between a man of God and just a regular man is someone that just forgets about the things about God. If you've accepted Christ and you just kind of forget about the things of God, that's what a lot of people do. That's a wasted opportunity. You could do so much good by becoming a deep-seated man of convictions. Does this make sense to you? I want you to know how much God loves you, and I want you to, because of how much God loves you, I'm going to do something for God. I don't know what exactly. Maybe it's going to be serve your church. Maybe it's going to be share the gospel. I don't know. You know, you'll find out as God lays things on your heart. Make those decisions and carry them out. Become a man of conviction. Amen? Let's pray.